page of Psalm 105. Well, I get wired up. Psalm 105. Let's stand, and I want us to read responsively the first seven verses of this psalm. I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse. If you have a King James, if you don't have a King James, just listen. If you have a King James, as most of us do, read with us. All right, I'll read the first verse, you read the second, up to the seventh. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the earth, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore.
Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth.
O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Let's pray. Father, You've been so merciful to us. You've let us hear of Your great salvation. You've given us Your word. You've saved many of our souls and changed our lives.
Amen.
Lord, also we live in a free country. We thank You. We thank You for the soldiers and their service that they give us. We thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the rain and all the blessings that You've given us. And we thank You this day that we could gather around Your word. Give me a freedom and ease to speak as only You can give. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. Psalms 105 and 106 are historical psalms. In other words, the poet that was writing these songs, hymns, is telling the history of Israel. And he starts it off with the first seven verses, and that's what I had you read. I'm going to use other parts of the psalm, but I just wanted to stop there. Because he's giving really what it is to live like a Christian life. You wonder about how do you live a Christian life? Well, here he's telling the Jews. Here's what the Jews ought to be doing. And I'll tell you what, everything he says right there just fits Christianity to a T. Beautiful. I look on these first five, six verses as spiritual advice. We all need spiritual advice.
Amen.
I don't know, you may decide certain days, you know, I just don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And sometimes you purpose to do the right thing and you've done the wrong thing. I was laughing at LeBron James after that sixth game. And they asked him about that shot Parker made at the end where he fell down, stumbled on his knees, kept on drilling, and then made the shot. He said he did everything wrong and then he did everything right. Sometimes we have a little hard time figuring out the right thing to do.
Amen.
But you know, I looked at this and I said, wow, what a blessing. What a help for you. What could you do? How could you learn what you ought to do to have a spiritual mind? Well, look at it. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks. I can't think of anything that would help you more than learning how to give thanks.
Amen.
You know, most of you take everything for granted. You don't ever thank your wife. You don't ever thank your husband. You don't thank your children. Your children don't thank the parents. And we don't thank God.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. If you're alive and kicking today, you got out of the bed this morning, you ought to thank God for another day.
Thank you.
I mean, life is the greatest thing you've ever known. You ever know anything any better? No, there isn't anything about it. Everything you enjoy is because you're alive. You can take a fishing pole and put it in a coffin, but the guy won't catch anything. It won't happen. Because he's not alive. Life is this great gift that God has given you, and you ought to learn how to use it.
Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord. What can you give thanks unto the Lord for? Everything.
Amen.
Can you give thanks for this day? Yeah, I'm alive today. One more day. It was an old song that said, forget it. I won't let my memory take me that far. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. That ought to be a daily practice for every single one of you.
Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord every day, call upon His name, ask Him for some things. Do you know what a great privilege it is to have a God who answers prayer? My Bible says, He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Why would God pay any attention to you?
Amen. All right.
But He does.
Amen.
But He does. Throughout this book, the testimony of a God to His people is, I am a God that hears and answers prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
In fact, one place He says, I have all your tears in a bottle. Every time you cry, every time you're hurt, God Almighty knows about it. God notices it. He's a lot more sympathetic than most of us are. And I ought to be thankful for that. And then He said something else. He said, sing unto Him. Oh, excuse me, I skipped it. Make known His deeds among the people. You know, we got a lot of atheists today. And a lot of our science is just really filled up with atheism. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the atheists say it with their mouth. That's a double fool. Not only do you think in your heart there's no God, you look at this world and say, no God?
Yeah.
Everything around testifies to a God.
That's right. That's right.
These things don't happen by accident. Everything is just so intricate, so detailed. You know, we haven't discovered all the fish in the sea yet. No, I don't think we ever will. We probably know more about outer space than we know the depths of the ocean. God has built a wonderful world. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
It's amazing what our eyes can do and our ears can do and our brain can do. We ought to be talking about God's marvelous works. Make known His deeds among the people. Then, verse 2, sing unto Him. Now, I do this. I don't sing out loud anymore. I loved it. I loved it all my life. I got too old and something happened up there. I can't breathe. It's amazing I still breathe to preach, but I'm still doing that. But I'm singing all the time in my head. I am. I'm singing all the time. And you know what? Mostly I sing hymns. I like the old hymns. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just old age. I don't like a lot of the modern music. The modern Christian music does not set me off. I mean, it does set me off sometimes, but I don't particularly appreciate it. But I love those old hymns. What are in this book? Good night. Some of the greatest hymns ever written by mankind to praise God and to lift the spirits of man.
Right.
Sing unto Him. Why don't you just sing a little bit in your day? You know, you get something better done.
Amen.
You'd work even better. You'd be happier when you get through, wouldn't you? Well, what is He saying? He said, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. And maybe instead of complaining about everything in the world, why don't you talk about what God's done?
All right, amen. All right.
You know what testifying is? It's simply telling what God's done in your life. And maybe God hadn't done great big things for you. You're not Billy Graham. That was a real disappointment. As a young preacher, I thought I'd replace Billy Graham. They'd come call for me someday. Come on up here. He's sick. We need you. Only you. But it never happened. They never did call on me when Billy Graham was sick. In fact, the man was hardly ever sick. But he put the gospel out. I was on a mission field, and I was talking to a fella, and I had a criticism of something Billy Graham had done. And the man said, well, I was saved at a Billy Graham rally, this missionary. And his wife said, well, I was saved at a Billy Graham rally, too. There were two missionaries. I'm sitting in their house right there. I said, well, he's done a lot of good things, hadn't he? And he has. You know what? He has compromised some things that I think he shouldn't have done. But, man, this guy has advised presidents. He has preached around the world. And no matter what you may think about how he communicates with anybody that calls himself a Christian, he preaches the gospel. He preaches the gospel and he preaches premillennial truth. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I pray for Billy Graham. I'm thankful for him. That guy's still alive. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful works. Well, I'll tell you what, we ought to talk of all his wonderful works. Look at verse 3. How about this for today? Glory ye in his holy name.
Amen.
You know what my Bible said? My Bible said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
We ought to be glorifying in the name of Jesus. Don't let the world take the name of Jesus away from you.
Amen.
I know the cussers, they're going to take Jesus' name and they don't realize who they're talking about.
Right.
They don't realize he's sitting up there making count every time they cuss using his name.
Yeah.
Disobeying. It's a dirty shame. And Christians are afraid to say the name of Jesus because somebody's going to criticize.
Yeah.
Don't let them take it away from you. Glory in his holy name.
Amen.
Well, that's something you could do. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We are a nation of complainers. We're the biggest gripes the world has ever seen. Because we have so much and we expect so much more. We're Americans. You know what a privilege that is?
Amen.
The people on welfare in the United States of America live better than most of the people on the whole world today and most of the people that ever lived in all of history past.
Thank you, Lord.
And praise God, most of you got more than that. I was in Guatemala as a missionary, and there was a lady there. She was from Belize. Very sweet lady, led her to the Lord, and she became a faithful Christian, a faithful friend. Her sister was in New York when those riots were taking place. And she says, why are they rioting? They have a television, they have a refrigerator, they have a car, and they have an apartment. And they're rioting. She didn't have any of that. And she simply couldn't understand it. Well, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to talk of all his wondrous works. We ought to sing unto him. We ought to glory in his holy name. We ought to rejoice.
Amen.
Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world.
That's right.
If I'm a Christian, now I don't know whether you're saved or not. If you're not saved, these things don't belong to you, and you better wake up.
Amen.
But if you are saved, you know what it says? It says your sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Not because of anything you did. You didn't buy them out. You didn't pay them back. Your sins are forgiven. If you're a Christian, he says you're born again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You were born physically. Now you've been born spiritually. Wow. You know what he said? He's going to make a home for you.
Amen.
And he was building it 2,000 years ago. What it must be like now. Wow. He said, I got a place for you. And the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right. Amen.
I preached a lot of funerals in my life. Just preached one recently, one of my cousins. And the idea that when I leave this frame, leave this body. This body's not me. It's a poor representation of me. I need one about 30 years old. Yeah. 25, 30, 31, somewhere in that range, that would be just what I'm supposed to be. I'm going to leave this body. I was in the hospital with my father, and he was dying. They had all the tubes in. He was still conscious. And I walked in and talked to him for a little bit, and he said, Lendell, keep on preaching the word. Keep on preaching the word. I walked out, said something to my mother, walked back in. My daddy was gone. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear what's going to happen to you. Why? Because God's already assured me. You call upon my name, I'll save your soul, I'll change your life, you'll be changed forever.
Amen.
Man, you ought to be glorying in his name. You ought to be rejoicing.
Amen.
You say, well, I lost my job, my car's broke, nobody likes me. Rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
He loves you.
All right, all right, amen.
He said, the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And then look at verse 4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. You know, He didn't say seek a new Cadillac or a new business. He said seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You got to get things straight.
All right, amen.
He said seek His strength. How strong is God? Well, He's brought you this far. I mean, some of you sitting in here, how many times God could have killed you just so easily?
All right.
You gave Him opportunity after opportunity. You're still here.
Right.
That's the mercy of the Lord. That's the grace of the Lord.
Thank you,
ought to seek the Lord. Who ought you to get in contact with? Now, I'm not a Democrat, and I didn't vote for Mr. Obama, but it would sure be nice to have Mr. Obama as an acquaintance or a friend. It'd be nice to have Governor Perry as acquaintance or a friend. Hey, Mayor Castro. I don't, though. I can't walk up to the mayor and get an appointment with him. He doesn't know me from Adam. I don't know Governor Perry. He doesn't know me. I don't know President Obama. He doesn't know me. I've got no clout, but I've got God.
Amen.
And He knows me.
Amen.
And I know Him. And so I ought to be seeking His face. Man, this is the way Christian life ought to be lived. Isn't that right? Anything in here that you can't do yet? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. What does that mean? You want the presence of the Lord. You want to pray, and you want to be in the presence of the Lord when you pray. You seek His face. You're not seeking always His things. I don't know whether you had any kids. I raised five. My wife had them all, but I had to teach them all to drive. They'd have never been driving if been left up to her. You ever get tired of your kids coming up, gimme, 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 gimme? You ever get tired of your kids talking and never giving you a rest? I had my baby, who has just turned 40 years old, apologize to me this last year. I used to tell her, give your mouth a rest. It never gets a rest. Give your mouth a rest. Now, she has three kids talking as fast as she does. And as often. She said, Daddy, I understand what you went through. Hey, payback's great, isn't it? Now, look at verse 5. I know you can remember all sorts of junky stuff. I can remember beer commercials. I don't even drink beer. Never even liked beer when I was lost. But I can sing the commercial. Hello, Mellow Jack's Little Darling. Now, how in the world did that get in my head? Listen to the news on the radio. And I won't even know it, and that tune will be going in my head. Hello, Mellow Jack's Little Darling. And then I'll be disgusted. Look at verse 5. Remember His marvelous works that He has done.
All right.
His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Every time science comes out with a new one of these pictures showing the atmosphere, the stars, and all the galaxies that are out there, it just makes God look bigger to me.
Amen.
When they start describing the human body and they see what they can do and how they can make a little hole the size of a pencil eraser and fix your knee. How they can go into my eye and do all sorts of things so that I can see. I was blinded by diabetes at 50 years old. I see 20/20 right now. 20/20. I'm thankful. But what a wonderful thing. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are absolutely complex. Tremendous what God has done.
Amen.
Remember His marvelous works that He has done. His wonders, the judgments of His mouth. Verse 7, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. I would think you could put that down. You just mark Psalm 105 and leave you a piece of paper in your Bible right there. Get up and read that every day for about a month. You might have a better attitude.
Amen.
You might not complain so much or gripe so much or cuss so much if you try doing a little of these. Maybe practice one of them a day. Practice singing. Those of you that can't sing, practice singing. Hey, the Lord loves your voice. He gave it to you. So, praise the Lord. Sing. Sing praises to His name. Very good advice. Give Him thanks. Make known His deeds. Sing unto Him. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, His strength, His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works He hath done, the wonders, judgments of His mouth. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. What an introduction to a little history lesson that's in this psalm. Look on down in the psalm, verse 16. Now you can read the whole psalm, and I'm not going to try to read it all because I wouldn't get through what I want to say. Look at verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. You know, we don't talk much about Father God. But all the newscasters and all the sports people and even the scientists can talk about Mother Nature. Let me tell you something. There ain't no Mother Nature. Excuse my English, but there ain't no Mother Nature. It's Father God.
Amen.
It's Father God. Do you notice what that said? Take a look at that again. Look at that verse. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. That's a little hard to take sometimes. He called for a famine. You don't have rain and you're crying and praying for rain. Somebody else is getting your rain. Well, it's not always just chance and happenstance. It says right here, he called for a famine. Talking about God. God called for a famine in the land. This isn't a time of Joseph, Jacob, all his brothers. He called for a famine in the land. And look what he said. He broke the whole staff of bread. You reckon sometimes these hurricanes and sometimes these tornadoes? Or how about financial depressions? I know for a fact the depression molded my father and my mother. I was born in the midst of it, so I'm a little kid in it. I knew a little bit that we didn't have much, but it didn't hurt me. I didn't lose everything. They did. Started all over. Paid off bad debts. It made them different people. Has there any tragedy ever changed your life? Oh, boy. Let God put you flat on your back sometime. You just might start talking to Him a little more. You just might seek His face a little more. You might try to sing a hymn or two. You might try to say, "Oh, Lord, I need some help." Tragedies change people's lives. And nobody likes to see them. No, I don't like any sickness. I hate to see pain.
Amen.
And yet these things wake us up.
Amen.
And if they didn't happen in your life, you never would wake up.
Amen. That's true. Amen.
You know what you were like at 17, 16, up to 20, 25. You were never going to get sick. You were never going to lose a job. You were never going to be broke. You see that old gray-haired man driving that Corvette? He couldn't drive it when he was your age either. That's right. He just got old enough, fat enough, had enough money he could actually afford a Corvette finally, huh? Nothing was ever going to happen to you. You didn't have to listen to the warnings of your dad or mother. You didn't have to listen to the warning of your friends. Those who certainly didn't want to listen to the warnings of a preacher.
Right.
And then one day you woke up and you weren't 10 foot tall.
Amen.
And you woke up and you weren't bulletproof.
Amen.
20-year-olds die. They do. 20-year-olds die. And some of us think we're never going to have a need. Oh, yes, you're going to have a need. If you live long enough, you're going to have a need. If you live long enough, you're going to get sick. If you live long enough, you may lose a job or two or three. You live long enough, troubles are going to come your way because that's a part of life. Sometimes God, for bigger reasons than your particular little needs, calls for a famine on the land. He said, you're too independent. You've forgotten how to call upon me. Maybe I better let you be a little hungry. Maybe I better let you see what you can do without me. He called for a famine. He broke the whole staff of bread. Now look at verse 17. Another beautiful verse. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until. What did God do? He sent a man. He said, I'm looking for a man. You know, there's quite a few places in the Bible. Some of you are not familiar. Maybe you don't know it. But there's quite a few places in the Bible where God's looking for a man.
Amen.
One man to stand in the gap, to stand up, to be a testimony, to speak to the king, to speak to the nation, whatever. He's looking for a man. Well, he had a man right here. His name's Joseph. Now, let me tell you what. Joseph was the favorite of his daddy. And that's a bad thing to have favorite kids. It really is. I've got 5 favorites. I love them all. There's some things about each one of them I don't like, and there's some things about each one of them I think is great. But I got all my kids. I love all my kids, and I don't want to be a favorite to any of them. But Joseph was a favorite. His daddy, his mother, he has 4 wives. His mother is the one he really loved and really worked for. And then he got cheated by his father-in-law. And then he had a second wife there that... whatever. Then they had the 3rd and the 4th one, what down the line. But when those 12 kids grew up, Joseph was the favorite. Joseph got a coat of many colors. I bet all those brothers were jealous of that coat. Look at him. What are you doing getting that? If you got 12 kids, you can't give them all the same. Now, if you got 2 kids, you might can say, okay, I helped you with the refrigerator, so here's $200 for you just to make up, try to keep it even. You got 5 kids? You don't do that. Not if you're as broke as we were. You do what you can do. You got 12 kids? No, you can't do that. But he had a coat of many colors. And let me tell you something else. He was a spiritual guy. He didn't like wrong things. His brothers were pretty tough, a little bit of a rough bunch. And Joseph would tell on them. What happens to the tattletale? Every house has one. Isn't that right? Mommy, he did. I love the little ad in the thing right now about he's eating the bones of the chicken. There's 2 kids in the back of the car. He ate the bones. He didn't eat the bones. Well, he breathed on me. That sounds like raising kids. Especially if you've got 2 or 3 of them, at least. He called for famine on the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. They put him in irons. There was a servant. Here's this 17-year-old kid, the favorite of his father. A child of dreams, grand dreams, where his brothers are going to bow down to him and his mother and father are going to bow down to him and whatever. And he told them of these dreams. That made it even worse. So when this bunch of traders come through, they took him and they sold him for a servant. We got rid of him. We'll see what happens to his dreams. At 17, what do you think his hopes were? What do you think his plans were? To be a slave? to be in prison. He didn't steal. He didn't cheat. He didn't do anything wrong. No. He was not expecting to be a slave or a prisoner or spend 13 years. How long did it take you to go through college? Well, he got a 13-year college education of hard knocks, of being a slave, of being a prisoner, of being down in a dungeon, not wearing a coat of many colors. That wasn't what Joseph was expecting. Am I right?
Amen.
He was not expecting that. But let me tell you something. That 13 years made a man God could use.
Amen.
Moses got sent out to the desert for 40 years. Took that long to make Moses what he was supposed to be. Well, Joseph, he got down there. God sent him ahead. Now, he didn't know that when they pulled him out of that ditch, that hole, and sold him as a slave. He didn't know that when he was sold to Potiphar over there in Egypt. He didn't know that even when Potiphar's wife accused him and Potiphar threw him into the dungeon. He's down there and he's got to just stand on his feet. The Bible says the word of the Lord tried him. You know what that is? God says one thing, your experiences look different. God says you're blessed and you can't see it. God said He's for you and it looks like everything you do falls apart.
Amen.
He went for 13 years having remembered those dreams that he had when he was a young man of him being high on the totem pole. Everybody bowing to him. All the glory that he dreamed about. It says the word of the Lord tried him. Let me tell you something. These promises are true. Promise of salvation, it's absolutely true.
Amen.
Promise of forgiveness of sins, absolutely
Amen.
True. Promise of a home in heaven, it's absolutely true. But the Word of God sometimes gets tried. God promises to answer prayer, and sometimes He doesn't answer the one you pray. He's still a God that answers prayer, but He doesn't have to answer everything for you. Because He may be trying you. Faith is not believing when everything goes right. Faith is believing when everything's going wrong.
All right.
Joseph got tested every time he came out on top. And then finally he came out to be the top. Until the time was that the word came and the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. Verse 24, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Did Joseph end up successful? Wow. He was like Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, whatever you do, just do it. I want to go over here and go fishing or swimming or do something else. I want to go out here and paint. Maybe he was one of these graphite artists, you know. Graffiti, I'm sorry. I'm going to go over here and paint. He can do anything he wanted to do. Well, Joseph is going to take care of the thing. Joseph is virtually the king of the whole land. You know the story of his brothers coming and him hiding himself and then revealing himself to him. He wanted to know if they'd changed. You know what? When they sold him, it changed his life. It changed theirs too. They had to watch their daddy mourn. For 13 years, they watched their daddy mourn the loss. He couldn't get over losing that son. He lost the wife. And what he had was two sons by her. He couldn't get over losing that son. Their joy went out of the home life. They didn't have everything as they wanted it to be. And it wasn't like it was before. It wasn't as good as it was before. Let me tell you what. Happenings like that change everybody that they touch. Well, he found out his brothers had changed too. There's old Judah. He said, look, my sons. You can have my sons. I'll give myself up. A lot of changes. You know something? God is a very wonderful God.
Amen.
And He may do some things in your life that you will never understand. But He may be doing it to affect somebody else you know nothing about. God's sometimes looking for a man. He looked for a man when He looked for Job. Looked for a man when He looked for Moses. Looked for a man when He looked for Joseph. Yes, sir. There is a verse in the New Testament. Romans 8:28. Here's what it says, and you ought to mark this verse. You ought to dog-ear your Bible if you have to. Don't ruin the Scriptures, just get above it. Mark it real neat and clean. Memorize it. You might ought to put this on your refrigerator, or on your dashboard, on your car. What does it say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We know that all things work together for good. This is faith. It's a higher step of faith than most people can walk. Because the simple truth is, you're saying, no matter what happens to me, God is going to turn it for my good. No matter how bad it is. No matter how much I hate it. No matter how big a disaster it is. No matter how I've suffered or those around me have suffered. God is going to take this and make it for my good. Boy, that takes faith. More faith than most of us have.
Amen.
You get slapped down with cancer. You say, oh, no. I don't blame you. You have a heart attack. And you end up in the hospital and they don't know whether you're going to live or die. All your family's gathered around. Wow. Can it do any good? You lose somebody and they have to go bury him. And you come to a funeral. And the gospel is preached at the funeral and somebody gets saved for all eternity.
Amen.
And we know, what do we know? All things work together for good.
Amen.
For you, if you're saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, if you're a lost man here, that doesn't count for you. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're not trusting Him to be your righteousness. You've never been saved and born again. That doesn't count for you. But if you're a Christian, let me tell you what it says. It says God's bigger than everything that happens to you. And Father God is behind the wind and the wave. Father God is behind everything that happens out here. Mother Nature sounds sweeter. Mother Nature is not as offensive. But it's Father God that does all the doing. And we know. What do you know today? And we know, is the Lord answering your prayers? Or is it some of those that haven't been answered? You've been praying for 10, 15 years for something that hadn't been answered? And we know. You going to get mad at God? You going to curse God? Going to blame God?
All right.
Or are you going to believe God?
Amen.
You see, there's enough evidence out here that God's a bad God for all the sin and sickness and trouble and pain. And there's enough evidence out here that God's a good God and all the beautiful blessings He's done and all the happiness He gives you. It's your choice. What are you going to believe? The Bible says God's a good God. I'm going to believe that.
Amen.
The Bible says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know that all of these things, even those that perplexed me so badly, that hurt me so much, God worked them around for my good. You know, if that happens, you can thank God. You can thank God every day. Thank you, Lord, that You're going to turn this for my good. You believe that? I believe that. Now, I honestly confess to you, it's very hard to apply practically, especially when you're hurting. It's especially when something's not being done that you want done, or you've lost someone you love very much, or you've lost something that's hurt you very much. And we know that all things, He didn't say all the good things. He included the bad things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what? If I were you, I'd want to be a Christian. If I were you, I'd want to be born again. If I were you, I'd take Christ as my Savior. If I could do it for you, I would. I really would. I think it's that great. I think it's the greatest thing. Somebody asked me a while back, don't you get bored just preaching the simple gospel? I said, no, I don't get bored. I try to work it into everything I preach. If I'm teaching on tithing, I'm going to try to get to the gospel somewhere in there. Somebody might need to call on Jesus today. Let Him have His way in your heart and your life. Whatever, whatever. Trust the Lord. And if you're not saved, call upon Him and be saved. We're going to sing 249.